Hey guys, I'm so glad that you're joining me this morning. It's a wonderful February so far, and I hope that you're doing good. So right before we start, go ahead and grab your Bibles because we have some passages to read today. We are in the middle of a sermon series called Sticky Faith. So basically, a faith that sticks around for the test of time. I am week three. Last week, you were in week two. And they spoke on application and how to apply that to your life. One thing is that we want you to have a faith that does not waver, a faith that stays strong and withstands the test of time, a faith that you know that you can go up against anything and that God is with you, that you are strong in your Christianity and your walk with Him, and that Satan can try all the attacks, throw all the fiery darts at you, and you just have this big old shield of faith around you. So we're going to go ahead and get in to today's message. Romans 10:17. You've heard it the past 2 weeks. So faith comes through hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Once again, in week one, it was the revelation, knowing who you are in God, knowing what God has called you to be and to do. Week two, application, applying that faith through tribulations and overcoming temptation with the word of God. Week three, here we are, it's relation. We're going to talk about a few principles and how they relate to a sticky faith.
Sticky faith.
It's so weird saying that. Always think of like a really sticky candy, you know, one of those nougats that you chew on and it just sticks in your teeth forever. That's the kind of sticky faith we want you to have. So we're going to talk about a few principles on how they relate to building your faith, but also we're going to talk about how relationships help to solidify your faith in God. So here we go. I want you to grab your Bibles and we're going to talk about these things. We're going to turn to James 2, chapter 2. Here we go. Collecting my thoughts here. Chapter 2, verse 1. But before we go there, I remembered I wanted to add this. I'm big on definitions and I like to know exactly what I'm talking about. So I looked up the definition of what relation means. And relation is the way in which two or more concepts, objects, or people are connected. It's a thing's effect on or relevance to another. So I'm going to refer back to that definition a couple of times throughout the sermon. Now we're going to dive in and we're going to find out how we can develop sticky faith. How we do that is we embrace three things. Number one, appreciation. It's how we relate to people. So grab your Bibles, turn to chapter 2. We're going to go from verse 1 to 9. You ready? Let's do it. My dear brothers and sisters, how can you claim to have faith in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ if you favor some people over others? For example, suppose someone comes into your meeting dressed in fancy clothes and expensive jewelry, and another comes in who is dressed and poor and in dirty clothes. If you give special attention or a good seat to the rich person, but you say to the poor one, "You can stand over there or sit on the floor," well, doesn't this discrimination show that your judgments are guided by evil motives? Listen to me, dear brothers and sisters. Hasn't God chosen the poor in this world to be rich in faith? Aren't they the ones who will inherit the kingdom He promised to those who live and love Him? But you dishonor the poor. Isn't it the rich who oppress you and drag you into court? Aren't they the ones who slander Jesus Christ, whose noble name you bear? Oof. Yes, indeed. It is good when you obey the royal law as found in the scriptures. Love your neighbor as yourself. But if you favor some people over others, you are committing a sin. You are guilty of breaking the law. You see, relation and interaction with all sorts of people need to be exercised. God created all of us different, and everybody that we come into contact with is in a different stage or walk of life. You know, when we moved, we live in downtown Lake Charles. We moved there just before Hurricane Laura. And our neighbor that we met at the time, he doesn't live there now. He actually lives one street over. But the neighbor that we met at the time, we found out that God really placed us there on purpose, because through visiting, he's an older man, and he has an illness. He suffers from rheumatoid arthritis really badly. But we started to begin to know him and visit with him. And my mom actually discovered this first, because she talks to everyone. I think that's where I get it from. Anyway, she spoke to him and she was talking about where we're from. And I'm from Eunice. And come to find out, he is from Eunice also. He's actually a relative of people that we grew up with and that my parents were really good friends with. So it was apparent that God placed us there. And as time went on, we've been there for almost 3 years now. As time has gone on, we've really developed a relationship and a connection, a friendship with this man. But because I stay home most of the time with my children and my husband works, and because I'm the extrovert also, I help him out a lot. And it's become, since his illness has progressed, it's become very frequent that I help him out 2 to 3 times a week. So on top of taking care of our home and doing what I do at Church of the King, and, you know, being a wife and a mom, getting kids to school and actually taking care of my walk with the Lord, I help this elderly man. And it was very fitting that, you know, as I was preparing for this message, I was thinking about relationship and loving our neighbors as we love ourselves and everything. And so this morning, before I came here, I got up, dropped the kids off to school, had to pick him up to bring him to go to get blood work. We stopped at the grocery store. He decided that he needed to get down. And, you know, so we did. And all these, you know, things took place. And it's cold and it's really raining outside. Typical February. So at first I was good. And then I just noticed that I started to get a little more aggravated, a little more, or just not really have a bad attitude. I was just grumpy. I was tired. I was still in my pajamas, literally. Thank the Lord for cold weather and huge coats so I could cover everything up when we went into the store. And I just really had to remember. I was like, oh, okay, God, you're allowing me to really get this this message firsthand and say, okay, love your neighbor as yourself. Because if I was in the position that he was in, I would want somebody to help me out. And it's, you know, kind of uncanny that he's actually my neighbor. It's just really a cool thing how God was like, okay, this is what you're going to share. And so as we pour out, that it builds our faith. And also, so when we pour out, yes, it builds our faith. We remember Christ in us. We are loving others as ourselves. But the worship team that we have here at church is very, very healthy. We took over the worship team around 2017. And needless to say, it was in a really rough spot. But over the years, the Lord has just really blessed us. And we have gotten into the place where it's really healthy and we have great relationships with each other and everything like that. And so the other aspect of love your neighbor as yourself and the importance of relationships and how we relate to people is that when we get around like-minded people who love the Lord and who are uplifting, that is another way that those relationships can help build our faith, because it reminds us how God loves us, how we love the Lord, how we praise and how we worship. And we can just encourage. The Bible says to forsake not the fellowship of those who love him. So we give out, we pour out to people who are in need. We allow God to use us to show us how we can relate to those who need him and who might need extra emotional care, physical care, help to go to the store, you know, just to open the door for others, to, you know, give somebody a smile on the sidewalk when you pass them. It really solidifies that as you pour out the love of Jesus and it builds your faith. But also when you surround yourself with those and build lasting relationships with like-minded people who build life and bring life, that really helps to solidify your faith. So we're going to move on to number 2, prayer and praise. These things really solidify your faith, because when we put our faith into action, it's a direct acknowledgement of God in our lives. So we're going to keep reading. Turn in James chapter 5, James chapter 5, I'm looking, verse 13 through 15. Here we go. Are any of you suffering hardships? You should pray. Are any of you happy? You should sing praises. Are any of you sick? You should call for the elders of the church to come and pray over you, anointing you with oil in the name of the Lord. Such a prayer offered in faith will heal the sick, and the Lord will make you well. And if you have committed any sins, you will be forgiven. So the things that really stuck out is you should pray and you should sing praises. And that prayer offered up in faith, it will heal the sick and the Lord will make you well. Here's the thing is that, and I've caught myself on a practical way to apply this, is that when you come to those and come across people who you are in relation with, you have relationship, a friendship with them, or even a stranger, and they tell you a problem that they have or a prayer request that they have, instead of saying, oh, I'm going to pray for you. And then 9 out of 10, by the time we get to our car and go on to the next duty that we have, we forget to really pray for them. What would actually happen if you say, hey, can I pray for you right now, if the situation allowed? You know, or just instead of shooting a text saying, praying for you, you know, somebody sending you a prayer request, actually type out a full prayer. Dear Jesus, we bring so-and-so. We ask that you would do this, that. Thank you for being faithful. Amen. You know, or actually just call them and pray in person. Remember, faith comes through hearing and hearing through the word of God. And here's the thing, the only way that we can pray the word of God with others is to know the word of God. So we pray and then we praise. God, you're awesome. When we praise, we give credit to God. When we come together with others and sing his praises, the devil doesn't stand a chance. And it all goes back to having a relationship with those who are like-minded, who are building your faith, who are challenging you. And you come together and you sing praises. That's a big thing with us on our worship team. And on a Sunday morning, if you join us in person, we're like, sing with us. Sing this out. Come on, everybody, clap your hands. You do this together. Lift up your hands. Praise the Lord. Sing at the top of your lungs. Let's do this together. Because when we are in unity and we are in one voice, the devil can't stand a chance and something amazing happens. So back to the definition of relation, the way in which two or more concepts, objects, or people are connected, or the things affect on or relevance to another. The effect of prayer and praise with those around us, it solidifies our faith. Let's go to number 3, confession and prayer. James chapter 5 again, verse 16. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. So we are to confess our sins one to another. And that's a really hard thing to do. It's very humbling to confess our downfalls, because here's the thing, then we fear judgment or shame or, oh gosh, I wonder what they think of me. But believe me, when I have kept sins or things that I have done that I was ashamed of and I kept them secret for years and years, I carried that all by myself. But then when I was built up enough courage and I found someone that I could trust, that I could share this with and know that they wouldn't be like, oh my God, you did what? When I confessed that and I knew that it was a safe environment to do so, I experienced such freedom, such liberty, and knowing that I'm not alone, that I'm human just like everybody else, but that also Jesus died for the sins that I had committed so long ago that yes, I may have repented for, but I kept them in my memory. I kept them on my shoulders, and it was so stressful just to do that. But when I confessed it to a friend and they prayed with me, I was able to release that to the Lord. You might be carrying things on your shoulders that you need to get rid of today. And I pray that the Lord shows you exactly who you can confess those sins to, who you can release that burden. It really does bring freedom. And confession and prayer, it builds relationships with others. You know, after pouring your heart out to someone, it really builds trust and connection. And all of these things, appreciation for others. And like I said before, I think there's two aspects in that. Yes, pouring out to others, to your neighbor, like I did this morning, like I've been doing for the past few years. Pouring it out, showing someone else Jesus's love. It just brings that gratification and knowing that you are in obedience. Because when you obey, that is an effect, the effect of obedience. It helps to build your faith. Number two, when you pray and you praise, that builds it. Number three, confession and prayer. It goes back. It builds relationship that you can have those around you. All these things work together. It's like the ingredients of a cake. You lose and you forget your baking soda or your salt. That's a big one. I'm a big baker and I've forgotten salt before in my bread. And that bread is just terrible. Next time you take it, put your salt, put everything, all the ingredients, and you have a beautiful loaf and it's just right. That's how our sticky faith is. It sticks around when you have all these ingredients and all these ingredients of the past 2 weeks, the revelation of knowing exactly who you are in God and what He's called you to do, the application and knowing that you can face and embrace tribulations, that you could overcome temptation, and then the relation of that. So I really hope that you got something out of today. And I really pray that you take all these concepts. And I'm going to tell you, it's not going to be overnight. It can be one little thing each day that you can take one step closer to the person that God has created you to be. You might be listening today and you might be like, I don't know what you're talking about. All this is over my head. I'm new to Christ. I don't know who Jesus is. I want to have faith. I want to, you know, live a great life, but it's just too hard. I'm here to pray with you. And I'm going to here to give you an invitation, and we're going to pray in just a second. If you feel that calling and that longing for something more, I'm here to say that today is your day. Jesus is standing there with arms wide open, and He wants to say to you, I'm here to show you the way, and I'm here to help you with the ingredients and the process of making you have a sticky faith. So if that's you today, I just want you to pray this prayer with me. This is a prayer that just puts Jesus where He's supposed to be, that confesses that you need Him, and that gets you into the kingdom of God and to have life everlasting and help for the rest of your days on this earth. So here we go. Just pray this with me if you don't have a relationship with the Lord and you really want one. Here we go. God, I recognize that I need You. I know that I cannot do this life without You. I ask You that You would come into my heart, make a place inside me to live. Please forgive me of all of my sins. Help me to know You more. Help me to choose Your way above mine. When things in life get tough, help me to remember that You, Jesus, died on the cross for my sins, for all my needs, for all my sickness. Help me to place You on the throne every day of my life. Thank You for loving me and for saving me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer for the first time or you rededicated your life to the Christ, please comment below. Let us know, someone on staff at church, someone is watching this with you that knows how to take you to the next step of your walk with the Lord. Please just let us know and reach out, and then we can contact you and reach out to you. And we're going to close in prayer, but I want to pray for all of you who are on this journey. We're on this journey together, and that just we would have a sticky faith. So here we go. God, I thank You, Father, for those that have joined us today. I ask You that You would help them, Lord, as they walk each day out, as they love their neighbors as themselves, as they pray and they praise, God, as they confess and they pray together, I ask you that you would help them to build and solidify their faith. I ask you that you would bless them so much today in every season of their life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I thank you for joining me today. I hope you join us next week. It's going to be a great one. You have a wonderful one. Bye-bye.